Greetings and welcome to Grace Christian Fellowship. We are broadcasting 24/7 on 89.1 FM radio and on the internet from two sites, which are our website at crestongracefellowship.org and from our radio.garden site at Creston, Canada. We are located at 2416 Cedar Street here in Creston, British Columbia in Canada. Well, it's Sunday morning at 10:30 on December 5th, 2021, and we now open our weekly service with a welcome from our pastor, David Ripley.
We welcome each and every one of you today. We pray that this service will be a blessing to each and every one of you. We pray for those that are listening by radio that God would bless them today as they hear the message, as they participate in the praise and worship this morning. It's a beautiful, I would call it a beautiful winter morning. A little bit of snow on the ground. The sun is shining, and we thank the Lord for that this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn briefly with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. How many know that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, the Holy Spirit is present to minister to us and to strengthen us. And in this verse, it says, comfort us, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So whatever God does in our lives, it's not just for us. It's so that we can pass it on to somebody else. That's the key, is when the Lord ministers to us, it's not just for our benefit, but that we can take the comfort that we have received and bless someone else that's going through a time of difficulty. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people going through times of difficulty this morning. And we need to pray for them, and we need to be a conduit of God's blessing to others. I want to comfort you this morning. How many would like to be comforted? Okay, well, I can't hug each and every one of you, but I can tell you, based on statistics that were given last week, there is one active case of COVID-19 in Creston. One. And the dreaded Omicron has not invaded us here in Creston or this valley. So we thank the Lord for that. We pray for those that are suffering this morning, that God would just minister to them. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning that you have brought us together one more time. Where two or three gather in your name, you have promised you are in the midst. And Lord, we thank you that you're here this morning by your Holy Spirit. And we pray as we begin to praise you, as we begin to worship you, as we begin to exalt your name, Lord, that you would be blessed today from our praise and our worship. Strengthen us even as we lift our hands to magnify your name. So we just want to commit this service into your faithful hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's just praise the Lord this morning.
Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory. and the grave has been denied. And Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and last disease. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. And Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. And death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega. The first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive.
Amen. Give Him praise this morning and thank Him.
And it flows to the lowest. the blood that gives me strength. From day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your breath, Lord Jesus.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? He is. Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. All forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee. Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
to heaven.
His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. His name is called.
Just one more time.
Emmanuel, His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, His name is called.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. We just want to praise Him today. We just want to exalt Him today. Thank the Lord for those who in our congregation can minister the word. And we've heard from Pastor Raff before, and we're going to hear from him again. And I know that it's such a blessing to have people in the congregation who can teach and minister. It's a great help for me personally, and I know it's a blessing to each and every one of us. So, Pastor Raph, why don't you come, and God bless you this morning. Let's give him a warm welcome.
So I'm downstairs. Sylvia had been up at 4 in the morning, and she's baking muffins. And she's just, you know, doing great. And I said to her, I don't feel that great. And I started to pray. And you know what the Lord showed me was joy. Joy of the Lord is our
strength.
Right. That's what the scriptures say. So I didn't tell her that. I just said, I need prayer. I feel funny. I feel something like something's wrong. So she prayed for me, and automatically she started to pray for
joy
of the Lord. So she put me in charge of looking after a pie because she was going to actually go and have a little bit of a sleep. So she had this pie in the oven. It was a pumpkin pie. And she said, please take it out when the alarm goes off, when the beeper goes off. So I said, okay. So the beeper goes off. I look at the pie. The pie is still kind of raw. So I put it back in and set it for 10 minutes. So 10 minutes comes, and I open the oven, and I pull out the pie and... So for those that can't see the picture, it is a happy face on a pumpkin pie. Praise the Lord. I didn't touch it. Well, what I'm talking about today is a serious thing. So I thought I'd start off with something a little light. I hope you're encouraged by this word, and may the Lord be glorified. I think that we can all agree that storm clouds are brewing over the church in the West. Amen? Literally, there's been storms and flooding going on in the lower mainland. And thank God that that's starting to be looked after and they're in control of what's going on there now. As followers in the church in North America, followers of Christ, we've witnessed our society drift away from biblical truth and embrace a different narrative. One that denies God, and it's been going on for a long time. At its core, it contains a spirit of Antichrist because it denies God. It denies who Christ is. It's been happening for some time. And men and women of God have been sharing from the pulpits and from elsewhere and warning us. Amen? There's an interesting illustration from sailing about navigation. Now, I don't sail, so but I take it that this is true. Anybody sail out here? A few people? A couple people? Anyways. So your navigation plan has to be 100% accurate. Because if it's not, if you're off by 1 degree, you will miss your target by 92 feet. Okay? 1 degree. For every 60 miles you sail, you will miss your target by 1 mile. Sailing around the equator, if you're sailing around the equator, you'd land almost 500 nautical miles off your intended target. So the question is, if the boat was already steadily drifting off course, the boat, the metaphorical boat, how much more off course will it become when there's a storm? Going to be way, way, way off. Jesus confronted Jewish authorities in Luke 12:56, and he said, hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? Do you remember the old adage? Red sky in the morning, sailor, take warning. Red sky at night, sailor delight. Sailor's delight. Folks, I think we have a red sky in the morning. We felt social hostility toward biblical teaching intensify in every public sphere around us. We've witnessed the rise of legislations affecting religious freedoms. We've started to think more seriously about what it means to follow Jesus, especially now when there's a tempest and waves are beginning to come upon us and crash around us. For us as believers, there's good news. The good news is we're in a different boat. We have an infinitely greater ark than Noah. He had an ark made of gopher wood and covered with pitch. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. John 10:9. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The bad news is, the storm is coming and we will feel its effects. Remember the disciples' responses to the storm when they were in the boat with Jesus? They were afraid for their lives. Some have recognized a dangerous trend in Canadian law that penalizes morality. It just happened recently. It criminalizes any attempt for someone engaging in what is called conversion therapy, which basically makes it illegal to try and influence anybody who is struggling with gender confusion or same-sex attraction to not act on pursuing those lifestyles or gender reassignment surgery. It's punishable under law now. Well, this is in direct opposition to what the kingdom of God declaration is, what Jesus said when he quoted from the scroll of Isaiah 61:1. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and set the oppressed free. That's the kingdom. That's what Jesus came to do, to set the oppressed free. Now we're supposed to be silent when people are oppressed? As well, not in the not-so-distant past, there were moves to make the Word of God be considered hate literature. It's not considered that yet, thankfully. The question is, what are they going to do next? We've been witnessing a shocking display of government intrusion on our everyday lives under the auspices of health and safety during this pandemic, where the lines continue to be crossed. Pastors who've had the audacity to believe that virtual church is not enough, and decided to defy orders to close the church across the country. And they have been jailed and fined and humiliated. People all over the world have been arrested, fined, lost their jobs because of this, because of excluding and excluded from accessing services, harassed and publicly slandered, discredited, otherwise canceled. Some call this persecution. Others, including Christians, scoff at that idea. How do you define persecution? Well, the Oxford Dictionary defines it this way. It's harassment, oppression, hostility, ill treatment, especially because of race or political or religious beliefs. Now, we can all agree that race is not an issue here, but the other two are. I realize we need to be careful when we use that word, persecution. Some have said we as believers have not experienced the kind of persecution that many Christians have around the world. And that may be true. Because the fact is, there's 300 million Christians around the world suffering persecution, suffering marginalization, being registered, being singled out, incarcerated, and even death. Maybe we will never be called to stand in front of a jury, spend years in a labor camp, or pay the ultimate price for faith in allegiance to, in our allegiance to Jesus Christ. On the other hand, there's a storm coming. And what do you do to prepare for a storm? Well, what do you do when a storm's coming? You prepare for it. That's what I meant to say. You prepare for it. And how do we prepare for it? We come to God's Word. And we hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you with this difficult topic. I just pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in every aspect of this message. We thank you, Lord, that you are a living God, and you, through your Spirit, wish to speak to your church. May we be listening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a map here of basically Paul's missionary journeys, the two that he took. Now, this kind of shows where he went to Smyrna, and this is where we're going to be talking about this church today in Revelation chapter 2, the letter to the church of Smyrna. To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not. But they are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you into prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death. I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. This is the word of the Lord. So the context of this, what was going on for the church of Smyrna, was that this was in Asia Minor. And many scholars believe that it was written during the rule of the Emperor Domitian. I've talked about him before in previous sermon in Revelation. So this was around AD 90. He, like his predecessors, demanded worship. Emperor worship cult, there was a cult around this that was utilized for this purpose. As his reign continued, people began to refer to Domitian as Dio Cassius. Now, this means, somebody who knows Latin might know that it means master and lord. And part of that worship was they were to offer incense to Domitian. Now, that's a title, master and lord, that only belongs to one. And it wasn't Caesar. So the Christians found themselves in a bit of a pickle. There was no way that they could participate in this kind of worship. If they had read the Gospels, which I'm sure they did, I know they did, they would have remembered in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke when it says, when Satan tried to tempt the Lord Jesus to worship him, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God and worship him only." That's what the word of the Lord said. The church at Smyrna was likely to be established in connection with Paul's missionary journey that we saw earlier in his work in Ephesus. This church was under great pressure. We know that they were struggling under tribulation, and the Greek word for that is thipsis. It was a direct result of their faith. And their allegiance to Jesus Christ. They rejected emperor worship and any other form of idolatrous worship that would have been presented to them. It was paganism. In fact, the first and second century Christians were viewed as atheists, believe it or not, by the Romans, who practiced a religion that was unrecognizable to them. When we look at this text, there's three things that I want to point out that I want to focus on. And what they are is Jesus is reminding the church in this time of great tribulation, great pressure, who he is. He's speaking to them about that he knows what they're going through. And thirdly, he will help them to endure. The first part of this portion of Scripture, the Lord identifies who he is. He actually recapitulates something he said previously in the book of Revelation, in the first chapter. But he says this, he says, "These are the words of him who was the first and the last, who died and came to life again." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty." He is, brothers and sisters, it. He is it. He is the highest power that you're ever going to encounter. He was reminding the church, he is the first and the last. Okay? There is nothing greater. I remember when I used to help out with recovery ministries, and they used to talk about a higher power. Well, this is the highest power you're ever going to find. Amen. The author of life. He knows the end from the beginning, the beginning from the end. He went to the cross, and through his resurrection, he defeated the power of sin. He is victorious over the most feared enemy, death. There is no one more powerful than he is. Romans 6:9 says, "Knowing that Christ, because he has been raised from the dead, is going to die no more, death is no longer being master over him." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ, who suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous and for unrighteous, that he might bring you to God, that he put to death in the flesh, he was put to death in the flesh, but was made alive in the spirit." And Revelation 1:18, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and Hades." He conquered death. So isn't it easy to forget that? How powerful he really is. So wouldn't it make sense that he was going to remind the church that was going through such oppression and pressure that he is sovereign. He's in control. Isn't that comforting? We need that reminder today, don't we? We got to remember that he is in control no matter what is taking place around us. He conquered death. You know, it's so hard to really grasp that. But when you think about it, it's because of Him that we can live forever. Amen. Praise God. So these Christians, the Lord says, they're poor. He said, you are poor. But you are rich. Why are they poor, do you think? They're under tribulation. They're being pressured economically. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their jobs. They're not allowed to work. They're getting their land confiscated. They're not participating in the religion of the day. They're being persecuted because they're not. The government is putting pressure on them. But Jesus says that they are rich. How are they rich, do you think? Yeah. In the book of James 2:5, it says, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him? So, has anyone ever traveled, like on a mission overseas or anything like that? Anyone? Yeah? Okay, would you find, or would you say, would you agree with this statement, that the people there, like if it was a poor country, that they were very, very generous? Okay, yes. Why do you think that is? Because they trust in God. They don't have much, but they believe that in Him for their provision every day. And they're willing to give as a result. I've experienced that too, where you were visiting, in a country somewhere, or when I was in Mexico, for an example, they give you the very best they have. And you know they can't afford it, but they do it anyways. I remember when I was on this mission, and it was with YWAM. It was just a short-term mission. And I went to a shanty town, and we did an outreach. And all the electrical wires and everything were all exposed. They had very little running water. There was sewage out in the open. And these were very poor people. They lived in just tin shacks. We gave them what we could. We brought them some cheap toys, and they were so grateful, so thankful. And this woman came up to the microphone that we had. We had this microphone and a speaker, and she said, "We're poor, but we have Jesus, and we are rich. We have everything." I never forgot that. I never forgot how that was such an example of faith. The poor being rich in faith. When this financial pressure is upon us, are we afraid to become poor? Maybe. But we've got to remember that God calls us to be rich in faith. We have to trust Him. Pastor Dave preached about trusting Him, God, completely last week. Will we be able to do that? But if we become poor, just know that God is with us. He will allow us to be rich in faith. It's challenging, isn't it? Challenging to hear that. Who wants to be poor? No? It's not an easy pill to swallow. But He knows. How many think here that Jesus was rich? Do you know that they took His clothes from Him? Do you know that He didn't even have His own tomb? He died with nothing. He became poor for our sakes, so He could give us everything. Eternal life. Will the Lord find us rich? That's my question. He says, I know the slander of those who say they're Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. So the context of this here is that Jews in Smyrna were legally exempt from worshiping the emperor. And initially, believers in the Messiah, who many of them had been Jews, were part of the synagogue. But then, eventually, they were kicked out. And when they were kicked out, the Jews actually started to accuse them and bring them to court and charge them falsely. They were being sold out. Jesus understands this all too well. Not only was Jesus sold out by one of his disciples, but he was accused by his brethren and found guilty before the Sanhedrin. And they subjected him to kangaroo court. And later they accused him before the highest Roman authority, Pontius Pilate. So he knows full well what it means to be betrayed and accused by a synagogue of Satan. Listen to what he said to those Jews beforehand. He said, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So that's not to say that all the Jews were from the synagogue of Satan. But these particular Jews that would sell out one of their own. It's like if a pastor is accused by his denomination of speaking blasphemy, okay? And then they turn him over to the government for punishment. Can you imagine? But you know, have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever been treated that way? Well, there are people that are being slandered by their so-called friends all over right now. The point is here, Jesus knows. He knows. And that in itself is such a comforting thing. He understands. And he wants to bring comfort to this church, and he wants to bring comfort to us. Because he knows what we're going through. Do you feel betrayed by a friend who you can't talk to anymore because they're vaxxed and you're not? He knows. He knows. Judas was right there with him during his whole ministry, and he turned his heel. He sold him out. Don't be afraid, verse 2:10, for about what you're about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will suffer tribulation 10 days. So it's coming. This is what he's saying. It's coming to you. He's telling them something that's going to happen to them. Okay? Is it 10 days? I don't know exactly. But the point is that it was a specific period of time. God will not allow suffering on his people just to continue on and on. It's for a time. And what's it for? It's for our testing. He allows it. But no, be sure of who it is, just as he identifies here who it is. It's the devil. It's the devil, and there's people that are working with the devil. So know whatever's happening to you, most likely, it's people that are working with the devil. But it's coming from him. Whatever it is, it's not going to last. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Okay? So, there was a decree that they were made to worship the image. And they were accused by the king's astrologers for not worshiping the idol. And then they were thrown into, not prison, it was a furnace. Wow. What did they say? They told Nebuchadnezzar that God was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace. But even if he didn't, If he does not, let it be known to you, O king, this is what they said, that he will not, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you set up. So now the question I have is, did God just let them burn and forget about them? No. He actually delivered them. It was a miracle. Now the thing is that he may not always deliver that way. But you can be sure that he will be with us. Because he says, I will not leave nor forsake you. He will be with us. So if he tells us to be afraid, it's for a reason. It's because he's with us. Because he won't leave us alone. He's not expecting us to do this by ourselves. He didn't expect the church to do it by themselves. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave nor forsake you. Isn't that encouraging? We have to be reminded, church, that he is with us. He won't leave us alone. He knows what's going on. He knows what we're suffering. He knows what we will suffer. And he will not leave us nor forsake us. He will carry us through. Did you remember when Job was tested? Did it go on forever? No. Was it pleasant? No. Do you remember when Jesus went through the temptation in the wilderness? And the enemy kept at him. And you know, at the end of that period, it says that the angels came to minister to him. Why? Because he was exhausted. It was tiring. He was spent. It was a spiritual battle that just wore him right out. These are the kinds of things to expect. He won't let us go beyond what we can bear. Because you know what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13? No temptation has overtaken you except that what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so you can endure it. Hallelujah. Amen. A way that you can endure it. We're not on our own. He is with us. He will carry us through. We have to remind ourselves of this in this season. Because you know why? Otherwise, fear will take over. Fear of the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen next. But we've got to go to the Word of God. We've got to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's huge. Be faithful even unto death. You will receive a crown. Now this is a victor's crown. It's called a Stephanos. Does that remind you of someone? Stephen. It's a laurel wreath presented to an athlete who endured it or won a contest. The victor's crown symbolizes resurrection life that's given by Jesus to the believer. Stephen was the first New Testament church martyr. And his name means victor's crown. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful thing. Because do you remember in Acts 7:55, it says, But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. So he went through, do you remember how he died? He was stoned. And in the end, he went through that pain. But all he could see at the end was Jesus. And it says that his face was shining. Such a beautiful picture. To me, it reminds me that God will give us the strength to endure whatever we have to go through, even death. Likewise, the overcomer will never be harmed by the second death, which is defined in Revelation 21:8 as the lake of fire. Our eternity is secure. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt by the second death. Let that sink in. Jesus holds our eternity. We can trust Him. He promises that. He went to prepare a place for us in the house of His Father. Just before I conclude, I have just a few more things I want to say. I realize this is long. The word Smyrna, as you might have guessed, contains the word myrrh, which refers to death. As myrrh is a bitter gum-like substance that's used for embalming bodies. More specifically, Nicodemus used it to prepare Jesus' body for burial in John 19:39. For this reason, myrrh is associated with bitter circumstances. Realizing what the people of Smyrna went through, it is fitting that their name is Smyrna. In order to release this beautiful aroma from myrrh, it must be crushed, as was the case of the church in Smyrna. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it means place of pressing for olives. That's how you get olive oil. Jesus went through the travail of the soul. He was sweating big drops of blood, like big drops of blood. Jesus struggled internally and asked for the cup to be taken away. Yet he surrendered to his Father's will. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. That's King James, Isaiah 53:4-5. Remember, in this time, who he is. He knows what we're going through. He will help us to endure. I just want to read out of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:31-39. What shall we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then now is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, he who raised to life is at the right hand of God, and he is also interceding for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? For it is written, for your sakes we face death all day long. We are considered to be sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I leave you with this song that is very, very special, very pertinent for what I've been talking about. And the song is called Rise. It's by Josh Garrels. I hung my head for the last time in surrender and despair. Before I'm dead, I'll take the last climb. Up the mountain, face my fears. The time has come to make a choice. Use my voice for the love of every man. My mind's made up. Never again will I turn around. Though they may surround me like lions and crush me on all sides, I may fall, but I will rise. Not by might or by power or the strength of swords, only through your love, my Lord. All that will is lost that will be restored. Take courage, sons. We must go under the heart of darkness and set them free. But don't lose heart when you see the numbers. There's no measure for faith that we will bring. It is given to us to overcome if we run where the Spirit calls on us. The greatest things have yet to come. With the dawn we will rise. Though they may surround us like lions and crush us on all sides, we may fall, but we will rise. Not by might nor by power or by the strength of swords, only through your love, my Lord. All that's lost will be restored. Amen. I know it's kind of a sobering, serious message, but I believe that it's something we need to hear, something we need to allow the Lord to really put in our hearts. And if we have something we need to lay down before Him, if we have fear, if we have some type of reluctance, whatever it is, it's something that we can just come before Him and confess. So if you want to join with me in prayer, I'm going to pray for all of us that we would just be willing to trust Him in these circumstances and know who He is. He is with us, and He will carry us through, and He will help us endure. If we don't believe that, if we struggle with that, just come to Him. Confess it, and He will help you. He will help you through. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I bless You and praise You. I thank You that we can trust You. We know that You are the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega. You are Almighty God. We know that You will bring us through whatever we go through. We know that we can trust You. We know that You know what we're suffering under and what's happening to us. You've been there Yourself. You can identify. We thank You, Lord, that Your hand is upon Your church. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to trust You, Lord. We bless You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing it. Sing that again. Oh, the blood of Jesus. If you need healing in your body, I want you just to lift your hand right where you are. If you need strength this morning for the journey that you're on, lift up your hands to the Lord. Say, Father, fill me today. Heal me today. Restore me today. And He's here. He's in the boat with us, folks. He's in the boat with us. Let's sing it.
And all the blood of Jesus, all the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All the blood of Jesus, it washes white.
Lord, let the healing power of Christ flow this morning. Let the strength of the Holy Spirit be poured into our hearts today, Lord. We need that touch upon our lives. Oh God, just touch us this morning.
Of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Father, we thank You for the message. We thank You for the opportunity to come together and worship You in spirit and in truth. We thank You for Your broken body. We thank You for Your spilt blood on Calvary's cross. We thank You for our salvation this morning. We thank You for our salvation this morning, O God. Help us not to take for granted the price that You paid at Calvary. Lord, I just pray this morning as we leave this house, Lord, that You would continue to minister to us. You would continue to do that work in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we're going to give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And everyone said, amen. Give Him a clap offering this morning.
There you have it. Our Sunday, December 5, December 5th, 2021 service at Grace Christian Fellowship. We trust it blessed you and it richly will give you encouragement for the coming week, and return you now to our music program on 89.1 FM radio. May the Lord now bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His perfect peace. Amen.